When my wife and I got married, she gave me a gift on our wedding day, and it was an hourglass. And it sits in our home, in our bedroom, and it's just a reminder of how valuable and how precious time is. And let's think about time for just a moment. One of the things that does stand out is you don't know how much time you have. So with an hourglass, you know, okay, it's about 60 seconds, it's about 90 seconds, but you don't know how long you're gonna live. I think most of us, we anticipate a long life, we hope for a long life, we pray for a long life, but that might not actually be the case. So you may pass away at 85 or 55 or 15. So we actually don't know how much time that we have. God knows, he has our days numbered, but also, not all time is equal. Isn't that true? So there's seasons where it's very difficult and time seems to go slow. And we don't know if we're headed into a time of blessing or a time of difficulty. What does God have in store for 2025? But also, I think we've experienced the older we get, the quicker time goes. I'm fully convinced of this. You know, I remember being in seventh grade and 9 months of school felt like forever, right? Just go on and on forever. You're literally living for the next break, Christmas break or spring break. And now a year goes so quickly in my life. We've got a joke here at the staff that we might as well start planning the Christmas Eve service. Because before we blink, it's going to be Christmas Eve. We're going to be here celebrating Christ's birth again. Paul gives us this challenge in this section of Ephesians to reclaim time, to redeem time. Remember the flow of this book, our position in Christ, because of the blood of Jesus, our faith in the blood of Jesus, we're accepted, we're beloved, we're forgiven. Then we're challenged in our walk to grow in our relationship with the Lord. But don't get confused, our walk doesn't earn or deserve God's favor. We're responding to God's goodness. We're relying upon God's goodness. I'm fascinated that Paul, through the Holy Spirit, can really sum up what the Christian life is like in three chapters. If you study chapter 4 to chapter 6, you get a really good idea of what it means to follow Christ. Last week, we were challenged in walking in the light, walking in sexual integrity. And then this week, we're challenged in how are we using the time that God has provided for us. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Our first challenge is to be alert, to walk circumspectly. Circumspectly means to walk carefully. One of the things I think we all love about Southern Colorado is the access to the mountains. Pretty quickly, you can get up into Cheyenne Mountain Canyon. Ever been out for a hike, even in Palmer Park? And you're like, I wonder if there's any mountain lions out here. The scary thing with mountain lions is they could be tracking you and you have no idea that they're following you. And you tend to be a little bit more alert. And sometimes in our relationship with Christ and in life, we can get a little bit too casual. We can get a little bit too comfortable. We can forget that there's a real enemy. You know, Satan doesn't take holidays, doesn't take vacation. He's always looking for an opportunity to bring destruction, to steal, to kill, and destroy. Jesus instructed to watch and pray lest we fall into temptation. Also, our sinful flesh is alive and well. It's not going to go away until we go home to be with the Lord. So we want to live out our days being alert, being alive, being awake spiritually, because the challenge is not as fools, but as wise. This sums up a whole entire book of the Bible. Proverbs focuses on wisdom and folly. The word wisdom is used 58 times in Proverbs. The word wise is used 69 times. The word fool is used 78 times. If this is something that the Holy Spirit's pricking your heart this morning, is study the book of Proverbs. Say, Lord, I want to walk in wisdom. I want to redeem the time that you have given to me. Where does wisdom begin? It begins with the fear of the Lord. As we put God in his proper place and we take our proper place, that's the beginning of wisdom. Verse 16, redeem the time because the days are evil. So be alert, but also be intentional. Be intentional. Time is gonna pass. You know, today is gonna go by whether we like it or not. But we get to choose how we invest the time that God has given to us. So we want to reclaim it. We want to redeem it. We want to buy it back. That's what the word redeem means. Have you had a few experiences in your life that reframe time for you? One for me was in the spring of 2020. Now, I know what you're probably thinking, COVID, right? And COVID was significant, but there was something more significant going on in my life is I found myself getting really sick, and I didn't know why I was getting sick. I was always thirsty, like always feeling dehydrated, just drink and drink and drink, and could never get satisfied. I was losing weight. I don't have a lot of weight to lose. I've never had a lot of weight to lose, so that was concerning me. I started eating just a ton to try to keep from losing weight, just a ton of calories every day, but still continued to lose weight. I was having these cramps in my legs, especially my calves, that would wake me up at night. And my wife's like, you're not acting yourself. You know, there's something that is wrong with you. You should go to the doctor. Me being stubborn is like, well, it's not really a good time to go to the doctor. It's in the middle of COVID and to go to the doctor because you've got cramps in your calves. But I just continued to get more and more sick. And finally, Amber's like, no, you're going to the doctor tomorrow. Like, we're calling the doctor and you're going tomorrow. And she probably saved my life. God used her to save my life. And I meet with Dr. Zirkel, my family doctor. And after about 2 minutes of explaining my symptoms, he says, Eric, I think that you have type 1 diabetes. And it's really rare for that to develop as an adult. I was 42 years old, but he's like, I'm pretty sure. Let's do some blood work, and we should know in a few hours tomorrow morning what's going on. If your blood sugar is at this level or that level, it'll kind of give us an indicator. So like, okay, I don't know a lot about this. I didn't know really anything about this. Get the blood work done. It was a Friday afternoon. He calls Saturday morning. He happened to be working that Saturday morning. He says, Eric, we got the results, and this is a life and death emergency. You need to get your wife, get in the car, and go to the emergency room. I didn't expect that. He said, your blood sugar level is 972, and your A1C is 17%. So in my years of being a doctor, I've never seen blood sugar this high. And I can remember his voice in my head. So get my stuff real quick and pack a few things. And we get to Memorial North. And Amber can't go with me. She can't go into the emergency room. It's the middle of COVID. I have spent time at hospitals as a pastor. And usually hospitals are busy places. Like, hard to find parking spots. But that particular Saturday morning, because of COVID, it was an absolute ghost town. And I walk in, not sure of what the next few days would be. Hearing conversations with the doctors, and they do some more tests, and sure enough, I'm a type 1 diabetic. And my new life begins. The nurse comes in with some insulin, says you're going to have to learn to give yourself shots, and you're going to have to take insulin every time that you eat any carbs. I was like, okay, not a big fan of shots, but I guess this is what the Lord has for me. And that experience of going through that, and thankfully, by God's grace, you know, got through it, and life is really normalized, but that has reframed time for me. When it comes to an anniversary, our wedding anniversary, I find myself just being so thankful that I'm alive and that I get to be there with my wife. For about 2 years, a doctor in our church, every time I would see him, he'd come up to me and say, Eric, I don't know how you're alive. I didn't know how to take that. You know, I didn't know. It's like, I guess that is encouraging. You know, so with type 1 diabetes, what happens is it's an autoimmune disease where your immune system attacks your pancreas and then you stop producing insulin. When it's my kids' birthdays, I find myself just sitting back and being so thankful that I get to be present with them. I've always enjoyed pastoring. It's been a real joy of my life to be able to pastor. But there's many times when we gather together for worship and to get into the Word, I'm just so thankful to be able to be here. And part of the life of a type 1 diabetic is a lot of times you get on an insulin pump, which is an amazing invention, right? So I'm on one that's called an Omnipod, and it's about, I don't know, about this big. And you actually change it every 3 days. And you put the insulin in, and then it connects to your body through an adhesive. Sometimes you might see me wearing it. I'm not trying to quit smoking. It's not a nicotine patch. It's my insulin pump. But 72 hours, that bad dog needs to be changed. And so every 3 days, I have this reminder, 72 hours, 72 hours. And my wife and I joke that now our life consists of 72-hour intervals. You know, I've got my robotic pancreas that's attached to my body. But it reminds me that life is short. It reminds me that I'm not guaranteed to live to be 75 or 85 years old. I'm sure that you've had some of those experiences. You've had a loved one pass away in a car accident. And you told them goodbye, and you had no idea it would be the last time that you've seen them. Most of us have had a loved one that's had cancer and fought for their lives, or buried a close friend that has died of cancer. But yet, even though we have these shockwaves to our system that life is short, over time, life does get more normal, and we start to think, I'm going to live forever. And those that I love are going to live forever. That's not the case. It's not the case. So when God's word tells us, redeem the time because the days are evil, like make the most of the time that God has given you. Is there a conversation that you've been needing to have for a while? Are there things that you feel in your heart towards family members of appreciation and love, but you haven't expressed it? Is there something that you've wanted to say to your parents, but you haven't? Do you have a lot of respect for a coworker that you've worked with for a lot of years? Have that conversation, because you never know when it's going to be too late. You can't get time back. Are there certain things that are on your heart that God has put there where you felt challenged to take a step of faith? And you keep coming back to it, and you keep having this conversation of like, I think I'm supposed to do this. And you talk it over with people that you're close to. Well, how about do it? How about step out in faith? God's placed that in your heart and say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and redeem the time. I'm going to make the most of that time. Husbands and wives, have there been things that you want to do together? You thought, man, it would be really fun to do this, or it would be really fun to do that. Make the investment. You know, you don't know how much time you're going to have together. A lot of times we go, I'll do that later in life. You know, when this happens, when that happens, how about say, hey, let's make time. Let's really try to make this happen and see if God would provide for this. But the simple reality of this truth of redeeming the time is to choose each day to love Christ and to love others. That's making the most of the time. God's given me today. So Jesus, I want to love you and I want to love others. And the challenge is because the days are evil. So we want the light of God's love to shine bright. Yes, our time is limited, but everybody's time is limited. And those that don't know Christ as their Savior, they need to know the gospel. They need to know how good God is. Be intentional with the time that God has given. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be in God's will. The rest of the text really explains to us what it means to redeem the time. We don't want to waste our days being outside of God's will. So there's this challenge. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Oftentimes we make God's will very complicated. Almost that God's will is beyond finding out. There's several places in the New Testament where God actually defines his will. In 1 Thessalonians, it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. When we're grateful, we're in God's will. When we're grumbling and complaining, we're outside of God's will. It's so easy to grumble and complain, isn't it? When I was growing up, my parents had this challenge for us. For my brother, it was, hey, stop chewing your nails. If you can not chew your nails for 30 days, we'll give you a mini Pac-Man video game. For me, my challenge was, Eric, don't complain for 30 days. I never got the mini Pac-Man. My brother succeeded and I didn't succeed. I can always tell you the things that I don't like, the things that aren't going my way. And it's a choice to say, I don't want that to be the treadmill that my mind runs on. I don't want that to be the treadmill of my soul. I want to choose to be thankful. I'm going to choose to focus on the goodness of God and express that thanks. That's the will of God. We talked about this last week, but also in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4, it tells us that it's God's will that we would know how to possess our vessel for sexual purity. So the days that we live in God's design for sexuality, we're actually living in God's will for us. Romans chapter 12 tells us, because of the mercies of God, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, surrendering to God in worship, not being conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. The byproduct is that you know what's the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. As we worship God and we surrender to God, we're going to know what the Lord's will is. But we want more and more of our days filled with God's will. Remember, Jesus came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. It doesn't mean that God's will is easy. God's will is challenging, but there's a sweetness there. There's life there. There's bread of life. There's living water. So know what God's will is. Be in God's will. And verse 18, and do not be drunk with wine, and which is dissipation. Now, dissipation means reckless living. This is describing being unwise, being to the place where you're drunk with alcohol or altered by some other substance, drugs and alcohol. Did a little bit of research this week. 80% of arrests, incarceration that result in jail and prison time involve drugs and alcohol. Isn't that amazing? Drugs and alcohol result in 80% of incarcerations. So what does God's word say about alcohol? Well, there is freedom in Christ to be able to drink. That's a choice that you make before the Lord that you need to pray about and have peace about. But if we cross that line and we get drunk, we're outside of what God's will is. Because the Holy Spirit can't guide us, convict us, direct us when we're drunk with wine, or could be a drug, it could be any substance. So if you feel that peace with the Lord to drink and can hold that line of not getting drunk, also what God tells us is not causing someone else to stumble. So if someone else is in that place where they struggle with alcohol, to not flaunt our liberty before them and cause them to stumble. As a pastor, I've seen more damage in people's lives from alcohol than almost any other thing, right? I think when someone starts drinking, they never anticipate it to being a place that causes bondage in their life. You know, I think there's some warning signs with alcohol that we want to pay attention to. If we're going to alcohol to cope, we need to be going to Jesus. Like if you can't sleep at night without drinking, that could be a warning sign. Or you feel really depressed and overwhelmed in life, and so alcohol's what we go to take that edge off. If you're in a place where you're having a glass of wine with family and friends and you're celebrating the goodness of God, that's a whole different context. When you find yourself all alone in the basement drinking to cope with life, that's not where God would have us. That's not what he would desire for our lives. Also, I think you know this, but I want to remind you that just because something is legal here in Colorado doesn't mean that it's biblical. We have a lot of unbiblical laws in this state of Colorado. Marijuana is a big deal, right? It's a big thing in our community and in our state. Personally, I don't see marijuana having place in our lives as believers. When you look at marijuana, it has been engineered to be even more powerful than it has been in the past. It's hard to create a case that says, I can be using marijuana and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because the principle here is we don't want something in our lives that's going to prevent us from leading the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead in our lives. So pray through those things. Allow God to lead you and direct you in those things. And verse, continuing with the verse, but be filled with the Spirit. The next challenge, invitation, be filled with the Spirit. The reason to not get drunk, the reason to reject those substances is we desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, church, I think right here, this is the most important to the second half of the book of Ephesians, is be filled with the Spirit of God. I find Ephesians to be really challenging in the way that God is calling us to live. Next week, we're going to look at marriage and the roles that God has for husbands and wives. There's no way that we can fill that apart from the Holy Spirit. There's no way that we can redeem time the way that God would desire without the Holy Spirit. There's no way that we can be wise the way that God intends apart from the Holy Spirit. We can't live in sexual integrity apart from the Spirit. But through the Spirit, we can. God is giving us a power outside of ourselves. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's largely misunderstood. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit's our comfort, our helper, and our teacher. Who doesn't need a comforter, a helper, and a teacher? That word helper in the Greek is parakletos. It means to come alongside and help. Have you had someone in life that just came alongside of you to help you? Oh man, it's the best. And you may not have even realized that they're coming alongside of you to help. Something simple like changing the oil in your vehicle, if you've never done that before, and someone comes alongside of you and shows you how to be able to do that. Remember when you were doing algebra and algebra 2? It's like, man, this equation is the worst. And then someone comes alongside of you and helps you, and it unlocks your mind to how mathematics works. That's the Holy Spirit, to come alongside and help. Now, the Holy Spirit came in us the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. But God does desire to empower us, to fill us with the Spirit. To follow the text here and to make logic, common sense of the text, God is saying, hey, there's some things that have to go that need to be emptied out of my life so that I can be filled. I can't be filled with the Spirit the way God would intend if I'm drunk, if I'm walking in sexual sin, if I'm in a place of bitterness. It's preventing the Holy Spirit from filling me the way that God would desire. There's that emptying that takes place first so the filling can come. So we consider that before the Lord. God, what needs to go out of my heart and my life to make room for the Holy Spirit? Also, this word filled, in the Greek, it means to be continually filled. So it's not just this one-time experience with the Holy Spirit, but it's daily relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I know you live inside of me. Would you fill me afresh so that I can walk with you? And then be willing to follow the leading and guiding and conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our kids. It's fun to bless our kids. But how much more does the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So it's that dependency and asking, Lord, would you work in my life through the power of your Holy Spirit? I sense that God is moving in our church, churches throughout our community, in our country, because of the times we're living in. We could probably build a case that times were evil when Paul was living, and they possibly have gotten worse as we get closer to the second coming of Christ. God's Spirit is alive and well, is working in our lives. If we're willing to be dependent upon God's Spirit, saying, Holy Spirit, would you fill me so that I can live this life that you're calling me to? Here's the result of the work of the Spirit in our lives. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Psalms 30 verse 4 says, sing praise to the Lord, O you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Psalms 13, 6. God actually calls us to sing. And as the Holy Spirit fills us, the Holy Spirit putting a song in our hearts and saying, I'm going to actually sing to the Lord. I'm super blessed by our worship team. So thankful for Pastor Billy and his leadership, and God is really using them. It's neat to see what the Lord's doing with RMC Worship, some of the songs that they've recorded, if you haven't checked that out. As they lead us in worship, and they're so talented and gifted by the Lord, sometimes we can miss it that we're part of the worship team. Did you know you're part of the worship team? I'm part of the worship team. One of the reasons we have the music up a little bit louder here at RMC is your neighbor next to you is not going to hear you sing, which is a blessing if you're seated next to me, right? But to come in on Sunday and say, I'm not just going to watch the worship team sing, but I'm going to sing to the Lord. I'm going to express that love to the Lord, to make a joyful noise to the Lord. As you go through your day saying, Lord, I'm going to sing a song to you. I'm going to express my love to you. God gave me a voice and I want to express it to the Lord. And that's a result of God's Spirit in our lives. Paul and Silas in Acts 15, they get arrested because of their love for Christ, thrown into prison. They're beaten. And what do? They worship. They just start singing to the Lord in the midst of such a difficult circumstance. I believe that they had a lifestyle of singing to the Lord. You don't just sing to the Lord in a difficult situation if that's not your lifestyle, if that's not something that you choose on a regular basis. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What stood out to me is always and all things. To always give thanks for all things. Any good thing in your life, it's from the Lord. It's from the Lord. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. And to take time to say thank you to God for all things, always. It means a lot when someone says thank you. You know, in our families, in the workplace, when someone notices your hard work and they show appreciation and they just say, hey, thank you so much for doing that. How much more so to our Heavenly Father when we stop and say thank you? Do you have food to eat today? Thank the Lord. Do you have clothes? Thank the Lord. Do you have a car? Thank the Lord. Even more so, do you have salvation? Thank the Lord. All things have come through the Lord and giving thanks to Him for all things. And that's the Spirit of God moving and working in our lives. Romans 1 talks about the downward spiral of our souls when we're unthankful. Romans 1:21 says, because although they knew God, they didn't glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and foolish hearts were darkened. So when we're unthankful, it puts us in that downward spiral. This is a wonderful atmosphere to be able to live in as believers when we're filled with the Holy Spirit and you hear another believer singing to the Lord and giving thanks. I love it when I hear my wife sing to the Lord. I love it when I hear my kids sing to the Lord. Josh Siskowski was on staff here at RMC for several years. He was our high school pastor and the Ellicott campus pastor. And his family are planting a church in Alamosa. And I miss Josh because he would wander around the offices and sing to the Lord. The staff boxes where you get staff mails right outside of my office door. And Josh would come to his box two or three times a day and he'd always be singing and he'd be whistling. And I gotta tell you, he's never gonna be on the worship team. He just doesn't have that voice, right? But he just had that heart of worship and it was an encouragement to hear that worship unto the Lord. The last result of the Holy Spirit in our lives that's listed here, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Submitting means to yield. You may be familiar with this intersection in the city, Woodmond and Academy. Whew, it's a good one, isn't it? So if you're going east on Woodmond and then you want to get off to go south on Academy, it's a very difficult place to merge. You've got all this traffic on Academy and you've got people coming across on Woodmond and sometimes they want to get all the way across to Academy. And what does it take to successfully yield? A small act of God, really, it does. but it takes submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, doesn't it? If somebody's going to have to slow down, somebody's going to have to speed up and merge and come together in one lane. Maybe you were coming on south on Academy this morning and you realized Academy is down to one lane and it's going to be that way for 6 months. That's how I drive to the church every day. Please pray for me, right? But there's this yielding that has to take place. And we need to do that in our relationships with each other as believers. This actually sets the stage for marriage. Before we get into the roles of husbands and wives, it's this attitude of husbands and wives that are saying, I'm going to yield together. We never compromise truth, biblical truth. That's not what we're yielding on. These are not issues of doctrine. These are issues of personal preference. How the toothpaste comes out of the tube is not an issue of salvation, right? It's an issue of being able to yield together. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we say, I discern that this is not an issue of biblical importance. This is simply me yielding. And when you get two people that have their eyes upon Christ, filled with the Spirit, saying, we're willing to yield, we're willing to come together in the fear of the Lord, it's a beautiful thing. Church, time. Your life is a gift. It really is. You're a miracle. Just the fact of conception and all that took place in the womb, you shouldn't be here. That's God's hand that you came together in the womb. Your family, your friends, the body of Christ, life is so important. It is worth living. And if you're at a place where you're in despair and you're like, that's not how I feel about my life, see it from God's perspective. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. So many days of our lives, we're simply just trying to grind it out. I owe, so off to work I go. It's just another day. It's another Monday. But time is going by. And to be able to stop and pause and say, you know, what if this was my last year? What if I knew that I would be in heaven January 15th, 2026? What would be different? How would I invest time differently? If I knew that someone in my family, my inner circle, was going to go home to be with the Lord, how would it change? In Psalms 90, Moses writes a song. It's the only song of Moses. And he says, so teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God, teach me how short life is to be able to invest in a relationship with you and invest in a relationship with others. But life's a gift. Time is a gift. And use it to love Christ and love others. Let's stand together and let's pray. Father, we do thank you for life. We thank you that you've created us, that you give us breath in our lungs. We thank you for the family and friends that you've put around us. And it's not always easy, but we thank you. And as we get into a new week, this last week of January, Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh? Let's just open our hands to the Lord and surrender to him. Holy Spirit, would you fill us? Would you empty us so that we can be filled with you? Holy Spirit, we need your help. We need your comfort. We need you to teach us. Where there's steps of faith, Lord, we want to take them. Where there's ways to express love, we want to enter into that. We need you. We want our life to honor you, to glorify you. We want it to be used to the fullest. Lord, help us to not just read about the Holy Spirit, but really encounter the Holy Spirit. It's not by power or by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Father, I pray for those that are discouraged, that don't see the value of living. Would you meet them, or would you protect them? Would you encourage them? Thank you that we could come be together this morning. Would you be with us and keep us safe as we drive home? In Jesus' name, amen.